From Illinois Public Media, it's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. President Donald Trump has been threatening to send the National Guard into Chicago, copying a template he first used in Los Angeles and has for a month been using on Washington. For now, he seems to have backed down from deploying soldiers here, but he is keeping another aspect of what happened in L.A. and D.C., stepped-up activity by Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Officials are calling it Operation Midway Blitz. As justification, or maybe they'd call it a tribute, authorities have cited the case of Katie Abraham, who was killed in a drunk driving crash earlier this year in Urbana by someone who did not have legal permission to be in the U.S. Abraham's father has spoken out about the case. This clip is from a video produced by the Federal Department of Homeland Security.
Katie was killed by someone who really could have been vetted and not been in this country, and she would be here with us today.
Meanwhile, Illinois officials have been critical of what the Trump administration is doing. Here's Governor J.B. Pritzker from a recent appearance on NPR's Morning Edition.
You've got federal ICE agents wearing masks, grabbing people off the street who speak with an accent or might be brown or black, and disappearing them. I did not think that we lived in a country like that, but that is, in fact, what they have been doing and what they now intend to do more of.
To hear more about the latest developments with ICE in Illinois, we're joined by Antonio Gutierrez, co-founder and strategic coordinator at Organized Communities Against Deportations. Antonio, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
And I should say, we reached out to the Department of Homeland Security. They directed us to two statements we'll get into later. We also contacted the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police to see if they had a reaction to all this. They have not yet responded to our inquiry. We will be spending the first part of our program on this. We want to know what questions you have. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. 800-222-9455. All right, Antonio, from your perspective, what is, as ICE has called it, Midway Blitz?
Yes, no, and thank you again for having us. I think what we're seeing with Midway Blitz is that this is an escalation that has been ongoing for the past few weeks. There is clearly an increased presence of ICE agents, or just in general, federal agents, as we know that many other federal agencies have been deputized to do immigration enforcement at this time, and that they're on the ground in our community areas throughout the Chicagoland area and also the suburbs, causing disruption in our communities and separating families. My organization oversees the responding of the Family Support Network hotline, where people can call to get resources and support if somebody is detained. That is option two of the hotline. And option one is to report any ICE activity or suspicious activity in your community area to then dispatch one of the rapid response teams that we have created over the last 8 months. By training neighbors, individuals that want to support and keep each other safe, training them on how to document, identify ICE agents, and how we then, once we get that type of confirmation, how do we alert the community to hopefully keep them safe and informed about how ICE is carrying out their activity, supposedly targeting criminals or individuals that we don't want in our communities. But we know as OCAD and ICER and the rapid response teams that that is not the reality, that even though they potentially could have individuals that fit their narrative and rhetoric around undocumented immigrants being criminal, that that's not the majority of the people that are being targeted based on what has been reported to us, and also the fact that we are referring many of those families who loved ones have been detained over the last couple of days to legal resources. So we know that many of them don't have a criminal record. Many of them are just trying to be here, looking for a better life, to escape violence in the countries of origin. And this whole operation, Midway Blitz, right, is a very is a clear attack to immigrant Latino communities in the Chicagoland area, which continues to be the rhetoric that President Trump and his administration have continuously voiced wanting to do.
Yeah, so what effect is this having on immigrant communities in Illinois?
Yes, I think some of the impacts that we're seeing is that people are afraid to even take their kids to school. And I think that there's some validity in being afraid of doing that. There's been a lot of reports of ICE agents being outside schools or nearby them, identifiable suspicious cars, being there for drop-off and for pickup of kids. We also have seen a huge impact on Latino-based businesses where Latino immigrant customers are not coming in as much or as in numbers that they used to before. And of course, this all comes on the month of September, where not only are those of country of origin of Mexican descent are celebrating their independence, but there's actually other countries from Central America that also celebrate their independence this month. And so that in itself is creating a lot of effects around how are those celebrations carry on, what type of security they need. And overall, what we have noticed is that people are not showing up as they have in previous years. So there's a clear impact that our community members, especially those that might be from mixed status families or that are undocumented, are sometimes not even leaving their home to go work, to go drop their kids, to go and buy groceries. And so that is continuously ban the impact of this operation for anybody that, again, could be impacted by this operation. And even for those that might not be undocumented, it is continuously to impact them, right? People are not showing up to work. People are not showing up to your restaurant. People are not going to celebrations for Independence Days for different countries of origin. And that's the real impact that this operation has on our social fabric.
Does your organization have numbers related to arrests and deportations even that have been made?
Yeah, so at this time, the hotline has been receiving from 300 to 400 calls a day. That
a
is
day.
The volume that we're
300 to 400 yes. calls a day. Wow. Okay.
That is correct. Not all of the calls are remaining about somebody getting detained. Sometimes the caller is just trying to report that there is ICE activity or suspicious activity in their area. At that time, that's when we dispatch one of the 29 rapid response teams that we have throughout the Chicagoland area. They are instructed to go there to document, to see if we can confirm the fact that ICE was there or not. And so that is one aspect of the hotline. The other callers are callers of individuals that is a loved one that has already been detained, and they're calling us to get more resources, to maybe get support around allocating their loved one. They provide information to our team, and then using that information, we're able to use that to then make a legal referral to organizations like the Resurrection Project or the National Immigrant Justice Center, so that they can do a legal screening and find out more about any type of relief that individual has. But what I want to also stress here, right, is that there's been a lot of anti-immigrant callers that call the hotline to saturate the line in some instances, and sometimes in really large volumes. Especially last week, we saw at least a quarter to one third of the callers were actually these anti-immigrant individuals that are there to just saturate the call, to provide false information of instances that did not occur and that were able to get confirmed from the rapid response teams, or to just threaten with violence over the phone to our responders.
Wow. Let me take a moment to remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking about the stepped up Immigration and Customs Enforcement agency activity in Illinois, primarily in Chicago, but also extending out now into the Chicago suburbs. Our guest is Antonio Gutierrez, co-founder and strategic coordinator with the group Organized Communities Against Deportations. 800-222-9455 if you want to join us today. 800-222-9455. I want to ask about how the Supreme Court decision this week, because you mentioned mixed status families, right? That's where somebody does have legal authorization to be in the U.S. Maybe they're full citizens even, whereas and other members of the family may not be authorized. And this week, I think it was this week, it was last week, the U.S. Supreme Court issued the ruling that basically, at least temporarily, gave a green light in you know, based on a lawsuit in California, that anybody, you know, who fits a profile, right? Brown skin, speaks primarily Spanish, maybe they're working in, you know, a job that would stereotypically be held by a migrant. I wonder if that decision is affecting how you all are doing your work and the people in your communities.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily impacting how we do our work, because our work has always focused on protecting and keeping as many people safe, whether they're undocumented or not, or within the spectrum of what a non-citizen is. But ultimately, what we have seen is that the decision from the Supreme Court is allowing Midway Blitz, which is the operation ongoing right now in Chicago, but also anywhere in the nation, is allowing ICE agents to believe that it is okay to target individuals just based on what they look like, most of the times being Latino, being an immigrant, being a low-wage worker. In some of the examples of confirmed ICE sightings and detention of people getting detained are clear examples, such as a flower vendor getting detained while just being on the street trying to sell their items with no other reason as to why ICE target them other than based on what they look like and based on what they were doing, selling flowers. We've seen people getting stopped and detained at bus stops while waiting for a bus. Again, these are individuals that ICE was not even targeting them, but for whatever reason, they decided that they fit the criteria of probable cause of believing that they could be undocumented. And what we're seeing is in instances like what happened with Silverio Villegas Gonzalez on Friday, that was on September 12, where he ended up getting killed by ICE agents while they were trying to interrogate him. And yes, we always suggest for people to know their rights, to know that if you are in a situation where an ICE agent is stopping you, whether you're driving or walking on the street, you have to exercise your rights of asking, am I getting arrested? Of not answering any questions, because you have the right to remain silent if you're getting arrested, right? And so these are the importance that we tell folks to keep calm, to not run, to not accelerate your car where you're getting stopped, and to highlight, right, that getting arrested by ICE is not the end of the fight. On the contrary, for us at OCAD, it has always been pretty much the beginning of our fights, right? When we get arrested and we get put in detention, that's usually when our campaigns have been able to get people released, as long as they're willing to continue to fight, even when they're inside detention. So I wanna highlight that point, but just to kind of give you a synopsis of some of the things that were like, that again, is getting confirmed to us through the callers and through the rapid response teams, is that there's a lot of violence that is happening right now by ICE agents. So I don't know whether it's the Supreme Court kind of giving them this green light around racial profiling, because I think that that's exactly what we need to call this decision, for legal discriminatory racial profiling of certain individuals based on what they look like. But ultimately, these examples or this decision is also allowing them to feel like they could be more violent. In some instances, like something that was reported yesterday to us, a father was beaten in front of his 9 and 1 year old that were present while he was not fighting or resisting arrest, the agents just automatically assume violence with them. His wife was also with them, and she's pregnant at this time, and they were also violent with her. She has bruises that we have seen pictures of. And so just to kind of alert the community, right, that this is the type of decision that the Supreme Court did, not only is impacting whether they can get away with legally using tools like racial profiling to target our communities, but that they're also feeling like they have, that there's no limitations to how they carry on their enforcement. And I think that that's what we want to make very clear to the government, whether it's the state of Illinois, to the city of Chicago, that there needs to be something that changes, because this cannot continue, because we're only seeing and continue to see more escalation of violence or racial profiling as far as tactics goes from ICE.
All right, we are going to take a break on the program. We will continue this conversation. We're speaking with Antonio Gutierrez, who is with Organized Communities Against Deportations, about what has been happening in Illinois with ICE activity. We also reached out to the Department of Homeland Security. We'll share some of their comments after a break. This is The 21st Show. Please stay with us.
Support for The 21st Show comes from listeners like you and the Des Moines Arts Center, located in Iowa's capital city, featuring works by regional, national, and international artists of the 20th and 21st centuries. Details are at DesMoinesArtsCenter.org.
It's The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about stepped-up immigration and customs enforcement activity in Illinois, particularly in Chicago and the Chicago suburbs. If you want to join us today, 800-222-9455 is the number. We asked members of our texting group about this. Terry in Batavia said, "What is going on is so wrong. ICE appears to be mainly focusing on easy targets, brown people who are following the rules, have pending court hearings for status and legal work permits. Just wrong, racist, and illegal. I'm glad the National Guard isn't going to Chicago, but they should not be deployed anywhere. We should not be in a police state. Due process for all, or we're all at risk of losing our rights." 800-222-9455 to join us. Antonio Gutierrez is with us. He's with Organized Communities Against Deportations, co-founder and strategic coordinator there. I mentioned before the break, we were talking about the an ICE officer fatally shooting a man named Silverio Villegas Gonzalez during a traffic stop in Franklin Park in the Chicago suburbs. We reached out to the Department of Homeland Security about this. They directed us to a statement posted on their website, which reads in part, "The alien resisted arrest, attempted to flee the scene, and dragged a U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer a significant distance with his car. The officer sustained multiple injuries and is in stable condition. The illegal alien was pronounced dead." Antonio, what's going through your mind as you listen to that statement from the government?
Yeah, I think what's going through my mind is that people should know that, again, right, as part of our Know Your Rights information, it's important for people to remember that if you find yourself in a situation where you're engaging or interacting with an ICE agent, whether you're driving and you're in your car, or whether you're just walking or leaving your home, it's important to remain calm, to not resist the arrest. The arrest is not the end. The arrest is not you getting deported. Each individual circumstances is different, of course, but we urge people to remain calm, to exercise the right to remain silent, to exercise the right to not consent to any search of your belongings, of your person, of your car, to ask for a judicial warrant, either trying to enter your home or try to open your car. These are the things that people need to remember. In the case of Silverio, yes, it has been confirmed by us and by those that witnessed the situation that Silverio, in fact, did not was attempting to drive once he identified or was notified that this was ICE. He did try to drive off and ended up hitting a truck, a semi-truck that was parked nearby. Ultimately, the agent that supposedly or allegedly got dragged on by Silverio is something that has not been confirmed. In the videos that we actually receive, we can see two agents perfectly fine dragging Silverio's body after he was shot and was still alive at that time, dragging him away from the car that had been crashed to the semi-truck, and then moved to kind of closer to the sidewalk, where again, you can see two perfectly ICE agents that are moving, that are telling even those that are recording that they need to step away, that they're going to arrest them as well, while they were just exercising their right that we have here in the state of Illinois, that we get to record any police activity, regardless of what agency it is, as long as it is happening in a public space or with the permission of the owner or manager of any private space. So that's as far as we know. It is important to remember those aspects of remaining calm, of exercising our rights when engaging with ICE, and to not do things like what Silverio does. But I would ask, what would you do? Right? We know that Silverio has kids. We know that he is the breadwinner for his household. What would you do if you were in the situation? What do you think is best to do when you're dealing with like violence and potential separation from your families? What is there for folks to do?
We heard at the top of the program Governor Pritzker saying he, quote, did not think that we lived in a country like that. Right, and he was talking about these agents grabbing people off the street, disappearing them, wearing masks. We also heard from some of our listeners about this. Stephen in Urbana said Governor Pritzker should immediately activate the Illinois National Guard. Illinois is under siege by armed masked men and women who are arresting people without evidence of wrongdoing and without due process, end quote. What can the governor actually do? What do you want to see from Illinois, from Chicago, from these local governments in the suburbs?
OCAD and ISA, that is the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights here in the state of Illinois, we've been working closely and informing the governor's office and mayor's office. There was an event last week that the governor called where they wanted to understand more about the Family Support Network hotline and the way that we are responding to those things. We met with them, and to be honest, there seems to be still limitations of what the city and the state of Illinois can do based on the fact that this comes from a federal like level kind of enforcement. There are ongoing conversations. Mayor Brandon Johnson announced an executive order that impacts anybody within the city of Chicago around ICE agents needing to also identify themselves or kind of follow protocol of local police whenever they are in the city. We're unsure as to whether that executive order will be respected or what is the accountability process for ICE if they don't follow it. And we continuously see that ICE violates people's rights. They violate our existing sanctuary policies by still getting access to license plate reader databases from the state and from the DMV office, and that they're doing this sometimes with internal collaborations between those agencies, like our local police department or other municipality police departments. Even though it is illegal based on the Illinois Trust Act and the Illinois Way Forward, that those agencies cannot collaborate with them. And so it is unclear what exactly could be the policy or could be the ask from this governor and mayor's office. But we do know is that even internally within our government agencies in the state of Illinois and in Chicago, there are individuals that are wanting to collaborate with ICE and that are doing that behind closed doors. we know that the only real way to kind of not only protect those in Illinois, but anybody, is to continue to demand the abolishment of ICE as an institution. ICE is, to us, our perspective, a terrorist organization, especially how they are carrying out their work in our community areas right now. I gave you some examples, and there's so many examples that I can continue to provide you about what that violence looks like. Is this really how America wants to treat those that, again, came here for a better life, as it is in the values of American society to be a space where people could pursue happiness and freedom? Because that is no longer the case based on what we're seeing. And just because we're immigrants, because we're Latinos, because we're undocumented, that should not make us less than anybody else. Because I thought that that was kind of the overall value of the United States, right, is that it's the land of the free for all and not just for some. Because if that is the new message, then we need to clarify that much better. But ultimately, it's hard to kind of point out a policy or an implementation or a court order, because even when we have policy, even when we have a court order, even when we have an agreement with ICE around that resulted from how they carry on operations, we continue to see them breaking those things, violating those rights or policies, and they're definitely doing that much more during this administration.
Antonio Gutierrez is co-founder and strategic coordinator of Organized Communities Against Deportations. Antonio, thank you for being with us today here on the 21st Show.
Thank you for having us.